We'll be singing number 950 in just a few minutes. 950. I want to join in the welcome that has been extended by John. We're glad everyone is here. We appreciate everyone coming out on this beautiful Sunday morning. And our time of worship has just been a joy. I look out and I do see many who are our guests. And we're so glad to have you. Many of our own members who are coming back and being part of our worship assemblies. It's always exciting to be able to be together. It's a year since the tragic loss of life when someone was in his apartment and he was killed in Dallas. You remember that story? Young man's just at the right place at the right time. He's in his apartment. Someone barges in and shoots him dead. It was a police officer. And she thought she was in her own apartment and the young man was invading her home. It was late at night, the woman was tired, and she made a terrible mistake. Right now, she's in jail. The trial went through, and she is, in fact, in prison, serving a very long sentence. When the verdict had been announced, the family had an opportunity to address this woman. And the brother, the younger brother, his name was Brant. And he was talking to the woman who had killed his older brother. And this is what she said, and this is what he said to her at the sentencing. "I'm speaking for myself, not even on behalf of my family, but I love you just like anyone else. I'm not going to say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did, but I personally want the best for you." That made headline news. People were shocked at what this young man said. His brother was dead because of her mistake. And he, without her asking for it, gave her his forgiveness. Could you do that? If someone was robbed from you because of someone else's mistake, could you say, "That's okay, I forgive you"? Not that it's all right. Can justice ever really be served in that situation? Because your loved one can never come back. Justice will never really be served, even though that woman is serving time in jail. Terrible tragedy. What about something on a much smaller scale, though? You are sitting there working on something really important on your iPad. You're reading a news article, something like what we just talked about, or maybe you're playing a game. And your wife asks you a simple question. "Well, what time is it?" And instead of just saying, "Oh, well, it's whatever time," you bark at her and say, "I'm in the middle of something. I'm busy." And then that kind of escalates into an argument and a fuss. And all day long, maybe even going 2 or 3 days down in the week, y'all are mad at each other, holding grudges. And eventually you might get back to forgiving each other, to being on speaking terms. That's something that does happen from time to time. We get in these little spats. Why? Do you remember what your last argument was with your spouse? What it was over? Sure, it was just this morning. I hope we don't keep tabs on the things that we fuss about and argue about. Do you remember what your first argument was? Probably not. Are these things really that important that we get so worked up and upset? One of my favorite verses in all the Bible is Ephesians 4, verse 32. It's easy to understand, but it's hard to do. Paul says at the end of a very practical section, he says that we are to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other. And then he says this, "Even as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you." That changes everything. That last little phrase, "even as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you." What did Jesus do? He died on the cross of Calvary for us. Not because we deserved it, not because we even asked for it, but because we desperately needed it and He was able to help us and do this. Well, why is it that somebody can do something so amazing and forgive a murderer, and we have a hard time forgiving somebody else for something so simple. It's hard for somebody to understand how we feel. We have this innate sense of justice that tells us this is right and this is wrong and somebody has injured me. And they'll never know how deeply they have hurt me. And that is absolutely true. They will never know the depth of angst that you feel because of something that they said or did to you. And we want justice. But it will never really happen. Even in this case, a young man who was killed, the woman's in jail, but that doesn't bring the young man back, does it? What we have to do is move beyond our feelings and our emotions. Because let me tell you this morning, forgiveness is not simply an emotion. It is a choice. We must decide to forgive, because otherwise we never will. I don't think we need a commentary. I don't think we need a lot of explanation to help us understand that forgiveness is hard. It is extremely difficult. It is not natural. It is not normal. But it is absolutely required of us as Christians. So number one this morning, forgiveness is hard. We understand that already. But secondly this morning, I want you to understand and appreciate how it is absolutely necessary of us as Christians. I want to look at a couple of passages very quickly with you. They're both from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus, as part of His teaching, says that when we're interacting with people, we need to... what He says here in Matthew 5 is when we come to worship. And He says you come before God and you have your sacrifice. And then you remember that your brother has something against you. You are the guilty one. And what you're supposed to do is leave your altar and go and be reconciled to your brother. Then you'll be able to properly worship God. What I find especially interesting about that verse is much later in the gospel, in Matthew 18, Jesus is talking about His future church in this context, and He says this is what Christians are going to do. If you have something against your brother, this is your responsibility. You need to go to him. That's Matthew 18, verse 15. If your brother sins against you and you go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Notice Jesus doesn't say, now put it out there on Facebook and let everybody know about it. No, He says, go to him privately. And if he listens to you, you've gained your brother. That's the idea. And I've seen this play out between brothers and sisters in Christ. And they say the words, but they don't really forgive. They don't really let it go. And it's always there. I know we may have a trust level that is dissipated because of something that someone has said and done. But you've got to let it go. When you look at these two verses together, you've got a problem. You've got one person who's wronged another running toward his friend. And you got another person who says, he has something against me, running toward that same friend. And smack, they run into each other. Do you see that? Matthew 5, Matthew 18. I'm putting those verses together. There's no crash in the Bible there. But imagine if two people are at odds with each other and they pursue trying to fix it. We'd have a lot less problems in this world, wouldn't we? What would your marriage look like if this is what a husband and wife did? Anytime there's a spat, they immediately take care of it. What if in our workplaces, in our work relationships, if we were constantly trying to fix any squabbles that come up? It's hard to let things go. We understand that. But for us as Christians, it is absolutely necessary. It is required of us. In the little letter of 1 John, there's a strong emphasis on love, that God is love and we are to love others. And I want to look at some verses that all go together. And across John, it's a cyclical letter. He'll bring something up and then bring it up again and bring it up a third time. And we see that here in 1 John 2, verses 9 through 11. He says, if you say you're in the light and you hate your brother, you're still in darkness. 1 John 2, verse 10, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, that's not the only time John talks about that. You turn over the next chapter, chapter 3, verse 15, and he says, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Chapter 4, he again talks about this hatred toward a brother. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. John hits this really hard, doesn't he? Not once, not twice, but three times. We've got to love each other. And that means we've got to do a lot of forgiving and letting things go, not holding grudges, and not bearing the hatchet with the handle stuck out so we can pull it out anytime we need it. Sometimes in our marriages, like the marriage counselor said, yeah, my wife, she'll get historical. You mean hysterical? No, I mean historical. She'll bring up all the things I did wrong in the past. And that's not what we want in our relationships. We forgive and we forget. At least that's what we should do. And we'd better, because if we don't, then God won't forgive us. You remember the model prayer? Sometimes it's called the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says that we want God to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then he comments on that. After he finishes the prayer, he says in verses 14 and 15, if you don't forgive others, God is not going to forgive you. That's how serious this is. If we don't forgive others, God will not forgive us our trespasses and sins. We need to learn to forgive when we have been wronged. I know it's hard, but it is required of us as Christians. And I want to tell you that this is part of moving on, because sometimes we let something that has happened in our past hold us back, as expressed by this beautiful quote. So sometimes we have to let go of the past in order to enjoy the present and dream about the future. Is there some situation in your past that is holding you back, that you can't let go of? And sometimes it's something that you have in your heart where you've got bitterness and anger and resentment towards someone, and they don't even know it. Who are you hurting? Are you hurting them? You're only hurting yourself when you hold it in and won't let it go. This is necessary so that we can be forgiven. But I'll also suggest to you this morning, it's just being godly. I love the verses in Matthew 5 where Jesus says we're to love our enemies. It's one thing to love our friends and the people who like us and respond to us, but we need to love those who don't love us back. And he says, when you do this, you are showing the world that you are a child of God. Because God, after all, sends rain on the just and on the unjust. All we're doing is simply imitating our Father when we do this. I'm going to mention to you, we're not going to read the parables, but in Matthew chapter 18, there's the parable of the unmerciful servant, where he is forgiven of an unpayable debt, 10,000 talents in our currency. That would be millions upon millions of dollars he owed his master. And the master forgave him the entire debt. What is Jesus' point? This man had an unpayable debt. So do we, the debt of sin. And then that same man who had just been forgiven of this unpayable, unbelievable debt, he finds a friend who owes him a penance and refuses to forgive him. That's me. When I plead upon the mercy of God and say, forgive me of my sin, my unpayable debt of sin, and God says, okay, no problem, I'll do that through the blood of Jesus, because I've been baptized for the remission of my sins. I have access to the blood of Jesus. and can find forgiveness. But then I go out and find a coworker, find a friend who says something to me that I don't like, and I don't like them anymore, and I refuse to let it go. I become the unmerciful servant in that story. And all I've done is enslave myself yet again to the hatred of sin. And I'll remind you of the parable of the prodigal son. Well, there's more to that story, isn't there? We often read Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24, but the parable continues. Verse 25 begins to tell us about the older brother who is resentful that his younger brother has returned home. And then it takes dad to come back out to the older brother who's so resentful and say, "We had to celebrate. We had to rejoice because your brother who was lost has been found. He has come back home." But that older brother was so resentful because he felt like he had been so good and his brother so bad, and no one had thrown a party for him. And Jesus is trying to teach us in that parable. We're all sinners. We're all saved by grace. And we need to recognize our desperate need for forgiveness, but we also must recognize that we must forgive others. And when we do that, when we forgive others, we are going to be what God expects us to be as His children. It's not easy, but it's required of us. And it means we're simply imitating God. Very quickly, what I would like to do is consider some basic steps that we can take. What can we do? We must choose to forgive. As we said, this is a decision that we make, not simply an emotion. We need to take the emotion and remove it and consciously decide to let it go. If it's something that is involving sin, well, I'm not suggesting that we sweep it under the carpet. I'm not suggesting that at all. The guilt must be dealt with. The guilty must be held accountable. But at some point, then we've got to let it go. I know sometimes when somebody has wronged us, that there's the trust factor, and we can't trust that person like we used to anymore. But we can't hold the sin against them. We've got to release it. And ultimately, leave it in the hands of God. The verse we have quoted many times from this pulpit and in our classes, we talk about Romans 12, verse 19, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." You're never going to get justice in this life. We must leave it in the hands of God. And when we do that, we are simply imitating what God has already done for us by forgiving us in Jesus. We're going to sing a song of invitation here in just a moment about the Lamb of God. Jesus is the Lamb of God who died for us so that we could become lambs of God, as the song says. But He is the Lamb, the sinless, perfect sacrifice. Because I had an unpayable debt of sin and I desperately needed forgiveness. Only Jesus could do that. If you're harboring hatred, or you have an unforgiving spirit, you've got to learn to be like our Lord, who even while we were sinners, died for us. Even while we were enemies of God, Paul says in Romans 5, He died for us. Not because we deserved it, but because of His rich mercy. And if you're ready to let go of that pain and that suffering that you're harboring in your heart, I hope that you'll let us pray with you, that God will forgive you and lift you of that burden. Or perhaps you just need to go home in the solitude of your heart, pray to your God and ask that He will forgive you. If you've never named Jesus as Savior, this invitation song is especially for you. We would love to help you become one with the Lord by being baptized for the remission of your sins this morning. The water is ready. We're prepared to assist you. And we urge you to make your way to the front. Right now, let's stand and let's sing.